that stand up tall to the sky, tell us no dreaming is ever too high. Dare to climb boldly, brave the high peak, you'll never know failure if bravely you seek. Dare to be different, dare to be free, dare to roam far like wind on the sea. Fly like a gull, soar high on the air, be strong in your courage when others despair. Be strong in your courage when others despair.
I'd like to welcome all of you this morning. I am Nayaswami Maria, and this is Nayaswami Ananta. And I'd like to especially welcome those of you who are here for the weekend here at the Expanding Light, and also those of you who are viewing online for the first time, and our friends as well. I'd like to begin with rays of the One Light. And this is weekly commentaries by Swami Kriyananda based on the teachings of Paramhansa Yogananda. And this is from week 38. Intuition is simple, the intellect is complex. Truth is one and eternal. Realize oneness with it in your deathless self within. The following commentary is based on the teachings of Paramhansa Yogananda. In the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, we read a passage that Yogananda often quoted. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. It has often been noted that a critical attitude tends to paralyze creativity. Good critics, for example, seldom produce works of creative genius, though their creations may be intellectually clever. The intellect separates, it analyzes, then puts things together again piece by piece. Intellect lacks intuition's flow, which descends smoothly, like a river, from the superconsciousness. Paramhansa Yogananda described intuition as the soul's power of knowing God. To receive the kingdom of God, Jesus was saying, one must do so with the openness and trust of a little child. Intellectuals may object to this statement, saying, but there must also be discrimination. You wouldn't want a person to be so open-minded that his brains fall out. The truth is, however, that the intellect can be fooled, even when it does its best to discriminate wisely. Only intuition is capable of penetrating to the heart of a matter and knowing truth from falsehood. It was the clear understanding of a child, not the elaborately persuaded intellects of his elders, that enabled the child in Hans Christian Andersen's story to cry out in surprise, why isn't the emperor wearing any clothes? Therefore it was that Sri Krishna said in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, to you, who are free from the carping spirit, I shall now reveal wisdom sublime. Grasping it with your mind and perceiving it by intuitive realization, you shall escape the evils of delusion. Thus, through Holy Scripture, God has spoken to mankind. Om, om, om.
Okay. I'd like to read from Whispers from Eternity. This is a book that Yogananda wrote. Tune us that we may hear thy voice. Volumes of thy Savior voice resound through the loudspeaker of every loving heart. The voice of thy wisdom roams through the ether of space, seeking everywhere hearts that are tuned to ecstasy. Sadly, thy warning sermons pass unheeded by souls deafened with the static of sense pleasures. O divine broadcaster, tune our souls, long distracted by the static of our indifference. Fine-tune us with the delicate touch of soul perception. Grant us the privilege of hearing thy magic melodies in the ecstasy of divine awakening. This topic of the intuition being simple and the intellect being complicated is really part and parcel of Paramahansa Yogananda's message to the modern world. The great intellectual students of biblical history and students of great philosophies and scriptures themselves are usually in universities, and they're not, in my experience, as fun to deal with and play with as the saints. The saints are more fun, more childlike, more open, more loving, and from my point of view, more real than just using the intellect to study. I sometimes used to listen to biblical scholars talk about the Bible, and I was really amazed at how much they knew about Jesus and the time and the places he went and all the peoples that populated the Middle East, and they really were into it. And I just thought it was a little dry, a little boring, and I much more enjoy chanting, "Come out of the darkness, Mother, bathe me in thy light," having the experience of God. This was the line of demarcation that Paramahansa Yogananda reintroduced to modern mysticism, is that the experience of self-realization is the goal, not an intellectual understanding of either the philosophies or the tenets or the history of a given religion. When you look at the saints, you see, at least the ones that we know of, that they had a very intimate personal relationship with God that was very childlike in a lot of ways. Master used to talk to Divine Mother all the time. And Master was smart. He knew all the scriptures and he knew all this very heavy-duty philosophy, and he writes about it. Kriyananda has written, I think it's 140 books, some of them quite long and thick, all about this deep philosophy. But in their personal relationship with God, Kriyananda and Yogananda had a very personal relationship. Master would talk to God as his divine mother. There was a time, one time, where Yogananda was meditating deeply. And he came out of the meditation and he said to divine mother, he's still in a state of ecstasy, he goes, "That's how you do it." He could see through the maya. He could understand this is the way the shadows and everything is portrayed. Other times, Master would talk to God as the Heavenly Father. There's a tape of Master talking about his experiences in Fort Garpar Road in Calcutta, his boyhood home. Master was in an ecstatic state, and he had a vision of himself as a soldier being killed. And Master said, "Now, am I at Garpar Road, or did I just get killed on the battlefield?" So he called to his heavenly father. He said, "Sire, light, am I dead on the beach or am I a four-car road?" And God answered that question. He said, "I'm always with you. You're a being of light." And he comforted Yogananda and explained this to him. This was the relationship that Yogananda had. And as erudite as Kriyananda is, with his long, many, many books, and he has written more books than any other disciple of Yogananda, and illuminated a lot of very deep philosophy that is important. I'm not saying you don't need to study philosophy, we don't need to study the scriptures, but what I'm saying is that Kriyananda maintains a personal relationship with God that is very childlike and trusting and open. And that's what's required for the intuition to flow. This community has been built on that relationship with Divine Mother. I hope you're not offended, but I don't think we're the smartest group in the world. And we didn't make a successful community because we just are smarter than everybody else. We did it because we asked Divine Mother, okay, what do we do now? How is this going to work? What can we do? And that's where our guidance has always come from. I had an experience once as a little boy. I was riding my bicycle with my two brothers and my cousin, and we were riding to the beach, and which was about 4 miles from our home. And in those days, bikes, for you young people, they used to have a thing called mud guards on them. And mud guards were supposed to be bolted and new and tight. And our bikes were very old, and they were very rattly. So as we rode down this to the estero by Limantour Beach, all of a sudden, all these ducks flew away. And we were like, wow, really cool. And then, unfortunately for us, a biologist came out of the marsh, and he had been hiding there with his setup to ban the birds and to shoot the nets out over the ducks and ban them. And he informed us it was since 5 o'clock this morning. And he came out, and he was, with good reason, ticked off. And he came out and he said, "You guys, what are you doing?" And he was just yelling. I said, "I've been here from 5 o'clock this morning. What's wrong with you? And now the birds are gone. I can't ban them." And he's like really frustrated. And myself and my two brothers just like, "Oh, no." We started moaning excuses. But then my cousin, Chris, said something. I don't know. It was super conscious. It was intuitional. He just looked at the biologist. He's 8 years old. You know, there's 4, 6 to 8 year old boys there. And he just goes, "Hey, mister, we're just little kids." And to the biologist's credit, he just pulled it together and he just looked at us. And in fact, we were just 4 little boys. And he just went, I'll never forget this. This is 50 years ago. He took a breath and he just went, "I'm sorry." And then he told us he'd been there since 5 in the morning, and he had this, you know, the net set and the launchers and this whole thing, and he had all these other biologists, and they were all set, and we just totally blew it. But then he realized we didn't mean to blow it. We just have rattly bicycles and we're little kids, and it was totally innocent on our part. And we apologized, and he said, "It's okay." And he was a very nice man. Very, very nice. But I realized that he had a lot of good reasons to yell at us, you know, from his point of view. But intuitionally, I don't know what made my cousin say that, but he just said, "We're little kids." And this is the intuitional aspect of our relationship with God that we need to bring into it. Just, okay, God, I really meditated really badly, but I'm just your little kid, and could you please show me how this is done? Could you please help me with Hong Sa? Because I'm getting nowhere with this. You know, I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm not doing Kriya very well. This isn't happening. Could you please help me, Divine Mother? And that relationship of intimacy allows the divine to help us, to be with us, and to help us to become better at whatever it is. And you use it in meditation, sure, but you can use it in business. You use it in relationships. Basically, a running dialogue with God and say, "Divine Mother, this isn't going very well. You know, could you please fix it? Could you please make this better?" There's a wonderful story about St. Anthony of Padua. I don't know if you all know this, but he was a saint quite a long time ago, I think in the 1300s or 1400s in Italy, and he lived in Padua. Where else would he live? But he was a great saint, and he performed many, many spiritual feats. He could bilocate, which would really be handy. But he one day, he was in his monastery, and the brother next to him had the room next to him, and the brother saw that Anthony's light was on. And he thought, that's odd, it's the middle of the night. And so it was just a candle, there's no electricity in 1400. But the brother came by, and he went over to the door, and he opened the door, and there was a candle on, and he opened the door, and St. Anthony was standing there with the Bible open. And it was on his desk. And standing on a chair so that he was tall enough to see was the little boy Jesus. Not the grown-up Jesus, the little boy Jesus. And he was showing Anthony in the Bible what it meant. And Anthony was understanding intuitively, oh, this is the inner meaning of this passage. And I thought, how sweet for Jesus to appear, not as, you know, Jesus, the resurrected Savior of the Lord of the world and all that stuff. Just little Jesus, the little kid, just going, here, this is what the Bible, this is what I meant. This is why this is written this way. That's the intuitive element of religion that we really need. And if you look at all the saints, not only of our line, but of the other great saints of modern times, as well as olden times, but they had this relationship with the Divine Mother. You look at Rajasi. Rajasi treated Master like his father or older brother. Ramakrishna, his relationship was with Divine Mother. He's always interested in learning new things, and Nandamoyi Ma, and even Lahiri, when he's talking to Babaji, he's talking to his guru. He's like, oh, Father, you know, this is, oh, yes, Babaji, yes, yes, yes. So it's that real intimate relationship. We need to incorporate that into our practices because it allows Divine Mother or the Heavenly Father, however you think of it. Jesus always talked about God as the Heavenly Father, but he was always talking to them. He's, oh, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, you know, Father, if you would, let this chalice pass from me. Could I get out of this? You know, just what's going on here? And God would say, no, you have to do this. Oh, that's okay. They'll understand. It's all okay. And give them that intuitive understanding. That's what we want from our practice of religion. We want the experience of God, not a greatly understood history of God, or even the history of the Scripture, or all the Greek words in the New Testament and stuff. Personally, I kind of think that's dry, but Yogananda just didn't go for that. He said chanting was half the battle. I mean, half the battle is just chanting and opening your heart. Meditation, obviously, is needed, because intuition is the soul's power of knowing God, but intuition and meditation is when the heart is open and the mind is still. The conscious mind is the chop-chop. It's the measuring. It's the, oh, this and that, or this concept, that concept. But the heart, the intuitional flow, the superconscious, that is where the experience of God comes from. Master defines self-realization as the knowing in body, mind, and soul that you are now in possession of the kingdom of God. No, body, mind, and soul. Not just brain. Body, mind, and soul. That thrilling aspect of realization. That thrill of kirtan. That thrill of chanting. That thrill of energization. You finish the last energization exercise. All of my energy is under my control and it's given lovingly to the divine. That's the experience we need of God. That's the experience that we need to bring to our meditation. We need to incorporate it into our daily practices, our meditation. Yes, you do need to learn the techniques of Hong Sao. Yes, or any other meditation technique. But the practice of it, the correct practice, is done with the heart open and the mind still. And that's the intuitive aspect that transcends the intellect. You don't find realization in the universities. You find it in the ashrams. You find it in the churches where true religion is practiced everywhere in the world. And so our practice needs to be intuitional. We need to meditate and practice with that heart energy. Master said that intuition is most strongly developed by the vibration of Om. And so learning the Om technique and meditating with Om, which is a very awe-inspiring practice. And I think the quality of awe is important in religious practice. It's just the stunning reality of God's presence within you, in your body, in this nature. We're going to come to the solstice. We're going to come to an equal day and night. No clock. No, just it's going to be there. The equal day and night is going to happen, whatever it is, day this week, Saturday or something. But the universe is functioning with an intelligence and a guidance that is awe-inspiring. The human body is awe-inspiring. Plants, animals, nature, people, the relationships we have with each other. Sometimes you get in a group like this, and I'm stunned at the beauty and the loving energy of the hearts of the people around me. How amazing that we have magnetically drawn together this group that can understand each other. We speak a common language, sometimes with words, sometimes with music, sometimes with just the love of the heart. But that's an amazing miracle. A childlike attitude to the universe will give you tons and tons of jaw-dropping moments. You just can't believe how wondrous, like a little child, going through life. Oh, wow. That's like the favorite thing of second graders is, wow, this is amazing. You show them something, wow. Well, go through life with a lot of wow. It's really worth it, you know. Kriyananda's always talking about this or that dream, and he's just amazed that he had the dream about Florence and all the people and realizing that we're all brothers and sisters. It's very, very important to your spiritual life that you keep that. And as the Gita said, overcome the carping spirit. Overcome that sort of cynical, modern epidemic of cynicism and, oh, I'm sure, oh, that's not true, It's that element it's just pervading our consciousness as a society because we forget to open our hearts. But then when we do open our hearts, everyone rallies to it. It's kind of amazing. You have modern saints like Saint Mother Teresa, and even the Dalai Lama inspires a tremendous amount of just intuitive approval on people's parts that, yeah, we should see each other as brothers and sisters. We should behave better. We should be more nonviolent. We should learn to forgive. And yet, we revert to that carping spirit. But that carping spirit distances us from the flow of the divine, from the wonder of the divine. And you don't see it in Rajasi. You don't see it. There was a great story. One time one of the young disciples came to Paramahansa Yogananda. He was blessing everyone. And he came up and the disciple said, Master, I want samadhi. And Master looked and he didn't say anything. He just looked over at Rajasi. He said, Rajasi, Roy wants samadhi. And Rajasi just looked over and went, bless his heart. Not, well, he's not ready for samadhi. Bless his heart. What a wonderful aspiration. And implied in that was, not yet, kid. You better get busy doing a lot more work before you're ready for this experience. But that's how sweetly to just say, bless his heart. Just have that sense. As teachers of little children, they never a discouraging word, always, positive, but sometimes just really biting your tongue and just laughing at the scope. That's really what we need, is to feel Divine Mother's realization. In your practices, ask Master, how do I do Hong Sa better? You said that you could realize God with Hong Sa. Well, I haven't realized God. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? And Master will help you. Divine Mother will help you. Keep that dialogue going all the time. What's next? Why? How could this be better? What could be improved upon? These are the techniques. I've got the techniques. Good. Read Swami's books. I'm not saying we don't need a philosophical understanding. We do need a philosophical understanding. That's why he writes all those books. But when you study them, try to meditate on them and feel the vibration of consciousness that is implied in those pages, in that philosophy, and bring that vibration into your practices. Chanting is half the battle. The heart is definitely how we get this. And then incorporate them together. Feel the Divine Mother's presence as we meditate, yes, as we go to eat, as we go out to play. Look around and look and feel and see that that beauty and that miracle of life that is echoed in this creation is also emanating from the center of your own heart. I realize the center of the Empyrean is a point of intuitive perception within myself. God bless you. I bow to you all.
Peace, give us our heart's love. Peace.